Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers. It's Tara. Today, for Better Sleep Month, Karen and I are spotlighting sleep and its role in our overall health. Sleep is often underestimated, yet it is fundamental to our well-being. I remember a time not too long ago when I felt overwhelmed and disconnected after a few sleepless nights. In this episode, we'll explore this relationship and discuss practical strategies to enhance our sleep quality for our mental health primarily. So grab a cozy blanket, settle in, and let's get started.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think people equate sleep with just the physical factor, but it is so much more than that.
Oh my goodness.
Right. So much falls apart if you're not sleeping well. I remember having a newborn and not getting sleep for that period of time. It was not good. It was not good for me. It was not good for anybody. Like, I did not function well on every 3 hours.
No.
That it is terrible.
No. But also parenthood is rewarding, and it's a very temporary time when your brain does not brain appropriately because you're not sleeping.
Yeah. There's so much else going on in parenthood. That's really just one small part of it. But I do remember thinking, oh, I am not a person who can go without sleep. It's proven itself over and over again. I love sleep. I love to get a good night's sleep. I love to unwind at night. I love to take a nap. Naps are amazing.
Let's talk about the importance of sleep. Quality sleep influences our emotional regulation, cognitive function, and mental resilience.
Oh, yes, my God.
Yes and yes.
Yes. Emotional regulation. Cognitive function.
And mental resilience.
Yes.
Numerous studies have highlighted the alarming effects of sleep deprivation, linking it to increased levels of anxiety and depression. I found so many terms I hadn't heard of before researching this episode. One of those terms is a sleep psychologist. In some cases, consulting with a sleep psychologist can be beneficial. These professionals specialize in understanding the complexities of sleep-related issues and can provide tailored strategies for individuals struggling with persistent sleep disturbances.
Interesting.
That's different than the people that's telling me I got sleep apnea, or are those the same people?
No, nah, it's different.
They're different people. I know.
Right? It's like, it's a very small niche, right? Effects. Sleep psychologists dive into how your anxiety and depression are related to not sleeping well.
Yes. They help us identify underlying psychological factors affecting our sleep.
Wow.
And offer evidence-based therapy.
I have a friend who was dealing with insomnia for months, and then it got better. And then a few years later, it reoccurred. He was saying that the thing that helped him get through that was when he started his meditation practice, which I thought was really interesting. And also, the other thing was that he was telling himself, I have this condition. And because he was telling him, like, because that was what was sort of circulating on his brain, his brain was like, okay, I guess we don't sleep.
I'm an insomniac.
This is what we do. And it was like that self-fulfilling prophecy that happens with our beliefs.
Brains are strong and tricky.
They're tricky.
Explorers, consider the relatable scenario of a rough night's sleep. The next day, you're struggling to focus, grappling with decision-making, and maybe even snapping at loved ones.
You are definitely
over
more irritable.
Minor inconveniences.
You cannot
I
tell me you're not
so
more irritable.
Irritable. Yeah. Oh. And then I have to check myself, like, be like, oh, like you're irritated because you did not sleep well. Let's keep that to yourself. We'll try again tomorrow. Literally, we'll try again tomorrow because today is not going to be it.
After a good night's sleep, we'll talk about this.
Our patients get so thin.
Oh, it's like
it's almost non-existent.
It's almost zero. It's really low.
Yeah. On the flip side, when we prioritize quality sleep and are able to get a good night's rest, we often notice a significant improvement in our mood and overall outlook. That's how we stay rosy, jolly, joyful.
Grounded, balanced, healthy. Yeah, that's important. I know you've said this, but we underestimate how important sleep hygiene is. Mm-hmm. Not just getting X amount of hours, but being consistent, right? Getting off any screens, like solid hour, if not more, before using blue light glasses. Mm-hmm. If you are on a screen, there's so many things we can do. Yoga or meditation before bed, reading, whatever it is. People overlook it at times. You know, if you're not eating well, drinking too much caffeine, not exercising, you have to acknowledge and notice if and when you aren't getting enough sleep.
Speaking of, that leads to another term that I found, and it is sleep debt. I was like, sleep debt refers to the cumulative effect of not getting enough sleep. Just like financial debt, sleep debt can accumulate over time, leading to a deficit that is harder to recover from.
Yeah, you gotta pay attention, right? Mm-hmm. Don't let that debt accrue.
If you consistently get only 6 hours of sleep per night when your body needs 8, not everybody needs 8 hours, but if you do and you only get 6, you begin to build a sleep debt, which can impair cognitive functions, increase our stress levels, and heighten emotional sensitivity.
Yeah.
And the longer we neglect our sleep needs, the longer it takes to repay that debt.
So just don't go into debt. Right. That's the point of this episode.
Oh my gosh, but also that makes me angry. Well, just don't go into debt. Like, just don't buy that extra latte and then you'll be fine. It's not that easy.
But the awareness of it, that's why we're talking about it. So hopefully to help you avoid going into debt.
Yes, or any further into if left unaddressed, our sleep debt can spiral into ongoing sleep disturbances, kind of like what you said earlier, like, oh, well, I am an insomniac or I just don't sleep well. So how do we reduce this sleep debt? Enforce, stick to, maintain, develop a consistent sleep schedule. Aim to go to bed and wake up at the same time each day, even on the weekends. I used to be one of those weekend late sleepers because I'm like, I'm going to make up for the time when I had to get up early during the week. But then over time, my body's like, no, this is the time we've been getting up these other 5 days. This is when we get up now. This is when we go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. And that actually made a difference because it's almost like I slept too much getting up later on the weekend.
Yes. But right. There is such a thing as too much of a good thing. Yes. No, yes. That can also have the same impact.
Yeah, exactly. It feels almost the same as being groggy of not getting enough sleep.
They do. They absolutely do. Like your body like a little sluggish and you just don't feel quite right. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind, this has to do with your circadian rhythms, yes. Right? Like if you're paying attention to, this is when I like to go to sleep, this is when I like to wake up, and you're sort of getting into the biology of what works best for you, and you stick to that, you're going to see a huge difference.
Oh, you said that was another term, not circadian rhythms, but it was like circadian science, which speaks to your circadian rhythms and working with your biology and where it works for you. I was like, really, we just making stuff up now. Like,
it is interesting how different concepts get applied to and then create new streams of science and debate and conversation.
And then I found this sleep calculator from the Sleep Foundation based on your age and the recommended hours of sleep. It'll tell you when you need to go to bed. And like I did it and I was like, well, this is why sometimes I wake up not feeling as refreshed as possible. I'm not getting enough sleep. Last night I did it and it was like, your recommended bedtime is 10:15, and I looked and I was like, I'm not gonna make the 10:15 bedtime tonight. So then there's like a 10:15 is if I want to get 6 sleep cycles, which is going through the light sleep, deep sleep, REM.
Okay.
And then the other one is if I want to do 5 sleep cycles was like 11:45. I'm like, that is a big gap.
That is a big
now I understand when I go to sleep at different times why I feel a little bit not as refreshed because I'm not getting a complete sleep cycle. I'm interrupting right. that cycle and my body's like, we won't finish yet.
Oh.
It was interesting to think about that.
Is there a website that
we can do it right now. Let's do it. This is you. So you can either say what time you want to wake up or what time you want to go to bed.
I want to naturally get up 6:30.
Alrighty. It says...
That's what I did this morning.
For 6 sleep cycles, should be in bed at 9:15.
What?
Exactly. Exactly. Or 10:45 to get 5 complete sleep cycles.
Okay, based on how I can long sign on
it,
that. I can
how long it takes us to fall asleep in bed. So your bedtime now is 10:45. But I was just like, this is kind of cool to use some of the science behind some of the circadian science and maybe research from sleep psychologists about what is optimal to feel rested and refreshed in the morning. Well, that, now, I nerded out.
Well, now, yeah. And now this begs the question, like, what are the benefits of 5 versus 6 sleep cycles or vice versa? Like, what that extra sleep cycle, what does that do for me? And also, I do want to point out, I have been naturally, it seems like, in the last few months, going to bed at a more consistent time, and I have not needed an alarm in the morning. Yes. I just wake up between 6:30 and 7. My body's like, we're awake. Let's go. Yeah. And I'm like, okay,
finished.
This
we're
feels really
all
good.
Our sleep cycles. Let's go.
It's really cool when you can start to rely on your body and to mm-hmm. kind of do
think
that naturally.
Things. All right. So what about sleep as self-care?
Yes.
Sleep is
yes,
often,
please.
Right? Sleep is often overlooked in the conversation about self-care, yet it is a fundamental aspect of nurturing ourselves.
Do you remember when I said I came home on Sunday? I was a little blitzed out in my mind, and I was exhausted, and I kept thinking, maybe if I just meditate. I came home after an errand, and my body was like, you need to go into the bed, and you need to get some sleep right now.
Oh, goodness.
And
naps
I did.
Our self-care. Like, if you need it, you're listening to your body, and your body's like... either you stop and do this right now or it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Or you know, people are going to get hurt. It's just like, it's like, it's not
you
good.
Primarily would be the person.
And I did. And like 45 minutes later, I was like, oh my God, I feel amazing.
It's essential to recognize that prioritizing sleep is a vital act of self-love. Mm-hmm. That reframes everything.
Boy, doesn't
when it comes to sleep, because oftentimes we'll put it off and then like, oh, I got my second win. Nope, you're actually just increasing your sleep debt, bordering on sleep deprivation to push through, to do this thing, to do that thing.
And it's not serving the greater good, so to speak, right? Like you think you're getting more done or you did something really good.
And then
actually,
you go back and look
you
at
kinda
it.
You kind of screwed yourself there on that one.
Nope. But so many of us fall into that trap of believing that busyness equates to productivity.
Oh, goodness,
and then
no.
That by extension equates to our worth.
Oh, wow. That was just a mic drop right there.
Busyness
equates to productivity, which then translates to worth, our self-worth. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. A lot of people operate like that. And that would make sense that that's the natural flow, right? We think we have to validate our existence. We have to validate our worth. Well, what is our society value? Productivity. Making money, getting promoted, all of those things, working a ridiculous amount of hours per week. How do I reverse engineer that a little further? That means I just got to keep busy. I just got to keep going. I just got to keep hitting it, keep nailing it. No, so often it's when you aren't hitting it and nailing it that the brilliance comes.
Can
and
come through.
Yeah,
because we jam-pack our schedules, rush from one commitment to the other, and are neglecting it, listening to our bodies about what we actually need. And a lot of times that is rest.
Yes.
So Karen and I believe that it's time, past time actually, to challenge this misconception. Prioritizing rest actively enhances our productivity.
I know it
doesn't
feel
sound
I know
good. It doesn't feel good.
Right now you're resisting the hell out of it. You're like, that can't be so. That can't be so.
Yes, but when we allow it ourselves that time to recharge, we increase our focus, creativity, and effectiveness in tackling whatever it is we're trying to do.
We've talked about that in terms of hitting a wall, creativity, like you're writing and you're like, God, I just can't.
I just crank
through. And you it's walk not, away and you take a break or you take the rest and you come back and it's like, boom, boom, boom.
All you need it was rest. Remember, rest is not a luxury. It's necessary
it's
to maintain our well-being. It's not something you'll get to when you get to it.
It's necessity. And as you were saying, what a beautiful act of self-care and self-love. If you want to really realize your worth, show yourself the self-care and the self-love. That's when it all starts to make sense. Take the rest. Do the things.
I was thinking through, how do we challenge the misconception? How do we flip the switch, so to speak? And a lot of it came back to our boundaries and embracing the power of no. Sometimes we agree to things like, we've taken it from the sleep foundation of when we should go to sleep, and we have someone inviting us to a thing that intrudes on when we should go to sleep. I'm not saying you should be a stickler, this is hard, but more often than not, because we just did this past weekend and we were celebrating our friend's birthday and we were up late two nights in a row, which meant Sunday night was, we going to bed extra very early because we tapped out. Like, the max is two nights. I can't do any more than this.
One is my max. But you realized it and then you sort of tapped back in to get a little extra.
A lot of times it's not even something I'm doing consciously, not saying, well, because I did this, I'll do this. My body will tell me. And I'm like, all right, then.
Yeah.
I've run out of steam. Right. This is all I got left. Good night. I barely have enough energy to wash my face.
Yeah.
I got to go to bed now.
Yeah, that's really, it screams pretty loud if you start to tune into it, you know. Your body's like, I'm tired. Can we just put a pin in this till tomorrow? There's very little that can't wait till tomorrow. And those setting boundaries is not just for external going to events and parties. It's
you.
How about you put a little timer on your phone? That thing goes off, you start unwinding and getting in your jammies.
I love that feature on the iPhone about, it's time to wind down now. It's time for sleep. Like, all alerts are silence. Okay, great. Like, that's usually, if I'm not already doing that, to be like, all right, put it down. Now it's time to transition away from these things to give myself that space to get ready for bed.
Lots of tools.
All right. So we've talked a little bit about strategies for better sleep hygiene. A lot about bedtime routines. So establishing a calming pre-sleep routine is pivotal in signaling your body that it's time to relax. Practice relaxation techniques, trying some deep breathing or gentle stretches to transition away from the day. That might be fun.
Oh, that's so good. I sleep so great when I get on my yoga mat for even 5 minutes and just get into child's pose.
Oh, I love child's pose.
And get down close to the ground. Just let everything go and begin to notice the breath. That's so good. Even 5 minutes, I'm telling you.
Yeah, just to help lower the heart rate. Okay. I might do that one. I understand it for, also on the other side of that, for waking up in the morning.
Yeah.
Stretches. Okay.
Yeah.
Multi-purpose stretches.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely get the joints going in the morning.
Another is to engage in mindfulness. Karen talked about meditation or journaling before bed. Journaling or getting your thoughts out in whatever format that is, digitally or writing. When you do that, as you reflect on your day or what you have to do tomorrow, getting them out then makes it so it's not keeping you awake as you're trying to fall asleep. You're not thinking about all the things that you have to do or all the things that you did. I also saw this thing that said, like, you know how we say going to bed and like you're counting sheep? It's actually counterproductive to going to sleep because you're focusing on counting the sheep instead of clearing your mind and getting ready for bed. I was
interesting.
Okay.
That's hypnotic for some people to do that, because I am a counter. I like to count things. It's part of my
brain. Why you said that? It's just like Rain Man came.
Oh, I have literally said to people, I am Rain Man when it comes to numbers. I can remember my childhood best friend's phone number from her parents' house 40 years ago. Yeah.
Karen, also known as Rain Woman, encourages us to practice gratitude in that space of mindfulness before we go to bed. Instead of scrolling through your phone or catching up on emails, a book, a real actual physical book.
Not Kindle, not Nook, not anything digital, like paper in your hand. And I even say, if you're going to journal, it's got to be pen to paper. No devices. Get them away. Put them in the living room.
Ooh, okay. That's part of creating that sleep sanctuary.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's just a healthy, sacred sleep sanctuary. Sanctuary.
I've heard only two things should happen in the bedroom, and they both start with S. Like, make that space sacred and a haven for rest. One thing that I've started doing is the aromatherapy, using the lavender on my bed linen. I know you could use diffusers or candles, things that signal to your brain like, oh, time to go night-night.
Really, those sensory cues are very powerful. Mm. If you have certain music playing or a particular white noise, that low lighting, candles. I have an essential oil that I make. It's a lavender combo, and I put it in fractionated coconut oil. I just put it on my wrist, on my like upper neck.
Mm-hmm.
And those, it helps you go night-night.
Yeah. One that I feel like I need to be a bit more diligent in is my digital curfew. Sometimes I get rebellious. I already have a time limit on social media for the day anyway, but then I'm like rebellious. I'm like, but I haven't scrolled in 3 days. And then I'm like, ignore limit for today. And then that I'm staying like, I know, like, oh, I stayed up way later than I wanted to because that darn social media hooked me in. And if you ask like, what was, I don't know. I was just mindlessly scrolling, literally. Yeah. Not.
It's fascinating how we do that.
Right? No depth, no nothing.
Intentionally looking for a particular piece of information or wisdom.
Just because, like, it all trickles from how well we sleep, how diligent we are in proper sleep hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right. I suppose if I want to be the best me possible.
Honestly, I feel like that's more influential than what kind or how much exercise you're doing. And to an extent, even what you're eating. Like, it's really important.
All the stuff that happens in your body when you're sleeping.
Exactly. We're looking at it in a particular culture as like, it's wasted time. It's me slacking off, whatever. No, it's literally your life. It's right. Literally like... things are rebooting and regenerating. Like, you gotta do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what we gotta do right now?
Oh, I do know. I was just saying about it, and my skin was starting to crawl. I'm like, why do I feel like I have to move? I just feel like I have to move.
This song speaks to dreams. As we are speaking about sleep, dreams, and desires, it was released in 1983 by the Eurythmics, and it is Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify. Everybody's looking for something.
Oh, sweet dreams. I just feel like only Annie Lennox could pull that off. What an interesting sound. Killer voice too.
Right. So, explorers, we hope you are encouraged to think about your sleep experiences and how your sweet dreams connect to your daily lives. Getting good sleep is a key part of achieving our dreams, both in waking life and at night.
Mm.
It is time for our question of the day. It's fine.
What could it? Yeah, I can't even imagine what it could be, right?
So, today's question, what does a perfect night's sleep look like for you?
It starts with listening to my body. It's getting tired and taking time for nighttime ritual, the face washing, the teeth brushing, but also a little bit of breathing, nighttime yoga, stretching, possibly sometimes it's reading a little mm-hmm. bit of a book and then just rolling over and naturally waking up when my body's like, okay, we've had enough sleep. How about you?
Yeah, so for me, the room is cool, dark, and quiet, and I climb under a fluffy comforter. I fall asleep easily and enjoy however many hours my body says that I need of uninterrupted sleep. The best indicator of that perfect night's sleep is in the morning. Mm. Like the best indicator. That was top tier A+ sleep because I wake up feeling relaxed and refreshed and like ready for the day. Like, woo, game on attitude after a really good night's sleep.
Yeah.
There's something. There is a noticeable difference.
There's magic in it for sure. When you wake up and you're like, dang, that was a good sleep.
Yeah. It's almost like when babies, when they're sleeping and they sleep really good and they do that big old body stretch and you're like, that baby slept good.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're coming back in your body and you're stretching. Oh, that's another thing that's great to do in the morning. It's like take a moment before you hop out of bed to just stretch in your bed while you're still lying down. That's so satisfying.
Mm. All right. Explorers, thanks for joining me and Karen in this conversation about sleep. We hope you feel inspired to take actionable steps toward improving your sleep hygiene and in turn, your overall health. I found a quote from the Dalai Lama.
Oh, good. I was like, who would I want to hear speak? Speaking of sleep.
The Dalai Lama said, sleep is the best meditation.
Oh, so I needn't feel bad if I fall asleep during a meditation or even sometimes like when I'm doing my nighttime ho'oponopono. Like I'm just like, yeah, yes. Sleep is the best meditation.
Sleep is the best meditation, highlighting the importance of sleep as a restorative practice that rejuvenates our body and calms our mind.
It does it all, sleep. It does it all.
It does so much. Until the next time, prioritize your rest, nurture your mind, and remember, by caring for yourselves, you enhance your life and show up better for those around you. Sweet dreams, everyone.
Oh, I love that you ended that way. That was like part corny and part so sweet and special. I love it. Thanks for being here with us on this sleep exploration. Be mindful about your sleep and how important it is. We love you. Take good care.
Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.